from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. California Governor Gavin Newsom has dropped the Twin Delta Tunnels project in favor of a single tunnel. We'll get the latest on the project, and we'll hear how the change from two tunnels to one will affect the Delta's estuary and water access across the state. Then President Trump reversed course and tweeted yesterday that Robert Mueller should not testify in Congress. Can he block the special counsel's testimony? Also, we'll discuss a move in California to keep the president off of the state ballot unless he releases his tax returns. That's all next, after this. Welcome to this morning's forum. I'm Michael Krasny. The Newsom administration has withdrawn permit applications for former Governor Jerry Brown's $19 billion plan to build two tunnels under the Sacramento-San Joaquin River Delta. The project was designed as a more reliable system of transporting water to Southern California, but has been criticized as a water grab and a danger to the Delta's ecosystem. Earlier this year, Governor Newsom signaled his support for a smaller one-tunnel plan, which is now in the beginning stages of environmental review. Joining us to discuss the new water plan is Paul Rogers, managing editor of KQED Science. And good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
I'd like to actually begin by talking about what's next here, because this could take, by some estimates, up to 3 years with not only the new working environmental documents that have to be put through, but also permits that are required to build just a single tunnel. We've got a long process ahead. What's next?
We do, and it's important for folks who may not be real water nerds to realize that this was the most controversial water project in California in more than 30 years. And basically, what Newsom has done is drive the final nail into its coffin. And I would actually contend that, Governor Newsom has been in office for 4 months now, and this is one of his biggest decisions so far, along with announcing the moratorium on capital punishment and threatening to withhold funding from cities that don't build enough housing. So this is a really big deal. This was a $19 billion project, and it was very, very controversial, as you mentioned. The idea was to make it easier to move water from the north to the south. The north, a lot of folks in the north had big concerns about it. Environmentalists didn't like it. And it was going to be in court for many years. So what Newsom's done is essentially start over and suggest a much smaller project. So his administration, his Department of Water Resources, with the same officials who actually have been pushing and designing this project in the Brown administration, are now going to come back with a much smaller one-tunnel project. But the question is, how big is that one tunnel going to be?
Well, it's going to be, by some estimates, about 40 feet wide and have a capacity of carrying up to 6,000 cubic feet of water per second. That's pretty big still. And also talking about, what, saving $5 billion with just one tunnel?
Yeah, maybe even a little bit more. There have been some estimates that it could be 10 or 11 billion. In terms of the size, I asked the Department of Water Resources on Thursday what the exact dimensions were going to be for the new tunnel. And they said, well, we're going to study lots of different options. We're still not sure. The dimensions you mentioned are one likely scenario. But it could be smaller. It could be bigger, right? And so if you build two tunnels and you were going to build, you're going to move 9,000 cubic feet of water, cubic feet per second of water, and then you build one tunnel that moves 9,000 cubic feet per second, the critics aren't going to be very happy. But there are even some environmentalists who are looking at no tunnels. This is sort of splitting the environmental community, because some groups like Natural Resources Defense Council have suggested that one tunnel would be a good idea to move water south in wet years and then have more limits on what could be moved south during dry years to protect fish in the Delta. Other groups like the Sierra Club say they don't want any tunnels at all. And, you know, this will play out, and some of them are kind of holding their fire to see what the specifics are. But,
Well, the NRDC was going to block this, weren't they, initially? Now they're backing away to some extent?
Yeah, they have supported in the past one smaller tunnel. So again, for them, it's going to be what kind of dimensions is it? How often does it operate? How much water does it move? You know, but the big issue here is that California gets 3/4 of its rain and snow in the north, but 3/4 of the people live in the south. So we've had to build these giant systems to move water. Otherwise, we won't have the Central Valley agriculture industry that we have. We wouldn't have Hollywood. We wouldn't have Silicon Valley because California only gets about 15 inches of rain a year on average in most of its big cities, which is the same as Casablanca, Morocco. So, you know, critics of these tunnels are saying that if they would have been built, even though Los Angeles officials made lots of promises, you know, that they wouldn't take more water than they're taking now, that once you build it, all bets are off, and eventually their political power would result in more water being taken from the north.
Talking to Paul Rogers, managing editor of KQED Science, about the Delta Tunnel. Now it is one tunnel officially from the so-called water fix. And, you know, I'm reminded of Mark Twain's old statement that whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting. And I think certainly Governor Newsom's intention to make less fighting going on, not only between different interests here, but also between the North and the South. Is one tunnel going to really, in some ways, ameliorate some of these divisions we've seen?
I think we'll be fighting over water in California for the rest of our lives and our children's lives and beyond that. I think what Newsom is trying to do is find a little less intense project. I mean, this one, it was really just black or white. People were either strongly for it or strongly against it. And what a lot of water experts have been saying is that we need to continue exploring all different options for water in California, including groundwater recharge in wet years, better conservation, stormwater capture, water recycling, in some places desalination, construction of new offstream reservoirs. And Newsom came out with an executive order a day or two before he made this announcement on the tunnels, and that called for the all of the above approach. So I think what he's trying to do is sort of what he's trying to do on high-speed rail, which is to say, all right, let's come back from the precipice a little bit. Let's talk about a smaller project for a while, see if there are places we can find that we all agree.
But he's directing all these agencies to develop a comprehensive water portfolio. And I think we also have to factor in this, don't we, Paul, that there are still 2 million people in the state without safe drinking water?
I'm glad you mentioned that because, yeah, that's the other big thing that Newsom is doing with water right now. There have been studies, the Sacramento Bee did a nice series, and there have been other studies that show that some parts of California, particularly the San Joaquin Valley and parts of the Mojave Desert where some of the poorest people live, do not have adequate or safe drinking water supplies that meet public health standards. We saw this in East Porterville down near Bakersfield during the drought where you have people with no well water. And so they basically have to have water trucked in like they're in a developing country somewhere, not in California. And so that has really shocked Governor Newsom's conscience and the conscience of a lot of people. And he suggested a water tax of what might be $1 a month for most people's bills to raise $100 million or more a year to fix and modernize those systems. But it requires 2/3 vote in the legislature, and a lot of the large water agencies around the state have opposed it. So we'll have to see how that plays out over the next few months.
It certainly engendered a great deal of controversy, this water tax. And again, we're talking to Paul Rogers. Let me invite those of you listening to join us. This is a half-hour segment, so we'll go up to the half hour with Paul, and you may have questions for him, or you may want to weigh in here, and we do welcome your involvement in the program. It is official. Governor Newsom has pulled the permit for Jerry Brown's Twin Tunnel project. That is former Governor Jerry Brown, and you, again, are welcome to join us now at our toll-free number. The number to call is 866-733-6786. We welcome your call, so please feel free to be part of the program. Again, the number to call, 866-733-6786, if you have questions or comments. You can also join us by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or going right to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. As long as we're talking about water policy, just for a moment, Paul, I came across something in the LA Times that said there's a an ugly little rarely mentioned truth about the fact that California has handed out rights to about five times more surface water in the state's rivers in a normal year. And that whole sense of water rights plays into this picture too, doesn't it?
It does. And these issues are very, very complicated. And people normally in the general public don't pay much attention when we have plenty of water like we do this year. But there are some real structural problems in the way that California's water system is set up. What you mentioned is one of them. And it's very hard to unwind these water rights. Often lawsuits can last 10 or 20 years when you have water rights issues. Because, you know, millions and billions of dollars are at stake. You know, as I mentioned, we live in an arid state. And if your property doesn't have water, it's not worth much at all.
So what happens in this picture with respect to the Delta smelt and the Chinook salmon, less harm with one tunnel?
You know, that's what supporters like NRDC have said. And, you know, the argument was from the supporters of the two tunnels that a couple of things. Basically, because of the Endangered Species Act that affects those two type of fish and other types of fish, when they swim by the giant pumps at Tracy, which pump water south through the State Water Project and the Central Valley Project, which are those canals you see when you drive down I-5, when those giant pumps are turned on, they grind up and kill these fish. And so federal judges have ruled that you can't pump as much water when the fish are in the area. And so what that's meant is even in some wet years, a lot of water flows out through the Delta, out through San Francisco Bay, out into the ocean. And water agencies, farmers consider that water wasted. Now, environmental groups and biologists say it's not wasted. It's going to support the wildlife and the fish of the Delta, which is an area the size of Yosemite National Park, and is, you know, a very important estuary on the West Coast. So the idea was, well, if we build these big tunnels, then it'll give us more flexibility, and we won't have to use the pumps as much, and then we'll get around the fish problem. But environmentalists, not only were they worried about a water grab by just pumping more water if you build these giant tunnels, they were saying you're reducing the amount of fresh water that goes through the middle of the Delta, and that'll cause even more problems for these fish. So there are all these biological battles, and if there is a smaller tunnel, there will still be some of these fights. But, you know, if they're pumping less water, one would think that the impact on the fish might be less.
Talking again with Paul Rogers, managing editor of KQED Science, and I should mention that Governor Newsom also has said in his recent statement that water is a human right, but we get into all these concerns about climate change when we talk about water. And also, the fact of the matter is that the state water, most of it is actually rainwater that literally can be going down the drain. So talking water in general here and new policies of water and attempt, as I said earlier, by Governor Newsom to bring some of the warring factions together more. Let's bring your calls in and let's begin, Mike, with you. You're on the air. Good morning. Mike, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can. Go ahead, please.
Oh, sorry about that. Hey, this all begs the question of what is it that's wrong with the Delta that causes people to propose tunnels, an alternative conveyance like this, or oppose it in the first place? So the way we're operating things now is obviously not sustainable, and we have folks on both sides of this story saying that their way is a way to fix what's not sustainable. And I'd love to hear Paul's comments on that, or what are the two opposing sides actually using as their reasons above and beyond just the fact that it's a water grab?
That's a good and astute question, Mike. Thank you for it. Paul Rogers.
Good question. The Delta is one of the most important water sources for people and farms in California, along with the Colorado River in Southern California. Of California's 40 million people, 25 million of them get their water from the Delta. It's water for Silicon Valley. It's water for Central Valley Farms. It's water for Los Angeles and San Diego. And again, all that goes back to the issue that I mentioned earlier. Most of the rain and snow falls in the north. Most of the people live in the south. So as the state has grown and the ag economy has grown, earlier leaders led by Jerry's father, Pat Brown, devised ways to move that water from the north to the south so it could continue growing. But what's happened is we now pump about half of all the fresh water out of the Delta that flows into it every year.
And so when you have less fresh water in the delta, there's less, there's a poorer water quality. And it also harms these fish. And remember, when all these projects were built at first, we didn't have an Endangered Species Act. We didn't have a Clean Water Act. It's the same with a lot of the dams across the West. We didn't have these laws. But now the people who operate these projects are having to live within the confines of those laws. So environmentalists are arguing people around the state need to be more regionally sufficient. We shouldn't be pumping as much water hundreds of miles across the state. It's not sustainable, particularly in climate change. So they're saying we need to have much better conservation. You know, we need to be paying people to remove lawns. We need to have much more industrial and home water efficiency equipment. We need to be building upstream reservoirs sometimes if it doesn't harm wildlife. And you can do that. There's a good example in Contra Costa County, Los Vaqueros Reservoir. We need to be recharging groundwater in wet years like we've just had. There are lots of things we can do to make areas more regionally self-sufficient. But some of the folks in Southern California argue, even when they game out all those numbers based on the current population and population growth, they're not sure that there's enough, particularly since there's been some issues on the Colorado River with not as much water flowing down there.
There's also a good deal of fear that in a drought, a lot of this water would just, there'd be a water grab by Los Angeles and Southern California, right?
Well, exactly. That's the fear of the North, and that's why environmental groups and many politicians in the North, particularly people who represent the Delta counties, didn't want these tunnels built. Because essentially they made the argument like this. Well, you know, the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California, which is the largest supporter of these tunnels and which has 19 million customers and was going to pay most of the cost for them, they're promising, well, don't worry, we won't take any more water. It says right here on paper, we'll sign this piece of paper. And the critics in the North were saying, well, this is like saying we're going to build a 10-lane freeway, but we're only going to promise to drive on two lanes. And we promise no matter what, we'll never drive on the other lanes. They just didn't believe it.
Here's another caller. Bonnie, join us. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I would really like to see the Central Valley be more accountable for their water use. I know I live in the Bay Area, and we paid big bucks. We did conservation, and we got charged more. And I don't know if anything's changed, but I remember being friendly with people in the Central Valley who had no accountability and didn't really care about water conservation because they didn't have meters. Are there any plans to start monitoring the use of the agricultural areas?
Do you know the answer to that, Paul Rogers?
Yes, and that's a great question. I wrote a story about it a few years ago in the Mercury News about water meters. You know, she's right. There were a number of Central Valley cities led by Sacramento that did not have meters on all of their residential connections. And a state law was passed, I can't remember what year, I think Governor Schwarzenegger was in office, that set a deadline for all these places to put in meters. Sacramento has been doing it, and I think is 60 or 70% done now. 60 or 70% of their houses have those connections. And once that's finished, there are only a few smaller places like Modesto that still don't have it completely metered. So that problem is being fixed. The other issue about farm water is a bigger, broader discussion. And, you know, basically, farmers use 80% of the water in California that people use. And there's a question about whether that's fair. Now, farmers say, of course, it's fair. We're feeding California. We're feeding the country. We're feeding the world. And this is our economy. This is how we send our kids to college. This is how we pay the mortgage. We don't have Google and Uber wanting to come and, you know, build giant new facilities in Fresno. This is what we do. And so it's very difficult if you're a governor or a senator representing all of California to figure out how to solve that problem. And the main thing that Governor Brown did was to say that farmers had not been good stewards of their groundwater in a lot of places. They had been pumping and pumping and pumping like there was no tomorrow, not recharging it properly, and their wells are running dry. And so he signed the landmark law a few years ago that requires them to bring those groundwater levels up. Now he's giving them until 2040, but if they don't do it properly, the state will take over starting as soon as 2020 and draw up plans for them to do that. And those plans are basically going to mean they have to use water more efficiently and they may have to fallow some land.
Let me thank Bonnie for her call. I'm going to go right to another caller. First, let me read a comment from Susan, who says, why should we in Northern California send our water to Southern California? They have already destroyed our fisheries. Big Oil and Big Ag are responsible for poisoning the water. They should pay to clean it up. And Ramona tweets, $1 a month to help everyone have clean drinking water? No brainer. Take my money. Let me bring another caller in here, and that's you, Rob. You're on. Good morning, Rob.
Thank you. You know, do we not have pipelines that transport oil and gasoline across parts of the United States? Why haven't we really seriously looked at moving water from the east to the west? We already draw water from the Colorado River. I don't know where the input is from that, but you know, there's so many places in the Midwest or across the United States that are, you know, literally drowned during the winter. Why can't we share the water out here where we completely dry up and blow away? I know it's expensive, but, you know, it's time to start looking big here. And the water situation would hugely benefit if we could get an interstate water pipeline built.
And let me just say, since you mentioned the Colorado River, Rob, that climate change is making things more imminent in terms of water shortage. I mean, got sea level rise and more intense floods and droughts to come. But what about what he's proposing here, Paul Rogers?
It's a good question. It comes up all the time during droughts. There's two or three reasons that it hasn't been done. The first one is when we talk about the closest places to get water from, usually it would be places like Oregon and Washington. But the people in those states don't want to give up their water to California. If a governor in those states agreed to move billions of gallons of water south to California, they would be recalled. And because they have similar issues with farmers and cities. In terms of moving it much further distances, the cost is prohibitive. You're talking about moving water thousands of miles through deserts, over mountain ranges. And remember, we pay very little, like less than a penny a gallon for water. And that's the price that we're used to. And so there are lots and lots of ways that we can get water much more cheaply than building pipelines thousands of miles up over the Rocky Mountains. For example, when water districts pay people to remove their lawns, lawns use 50% of the water in California and most urban areas. So that's a really easy way to get a lot of water pretty cheaply. You can also do things like pass local ordinances that say whenever somebody sells a house, they have to put in a low flush toilet before they sell the house. And that saves water. And there are many, many other examples like that. We're only recycling 5% of all the wastewater in California to use on landscaping and agriculture. Places in the Middle East, like Israel, are recycling nearly all of it. So there's a lot of other cheaper ways to get water. And this issue comes up with desalination, too. We can do desalination, and California's never going to run out of water. I mean, if we had a drought that lasted 100 years, we'd still be okay because we'd build giant desal plants up and down the coast. But everybody's water bill would go up fivefold.
We're going to have to get you in here to talk about desalination. We need more time on that topic alone, but Paul, thank you. Always good to have you on. That's Paul Rogers, Managing Editor, KQED Science, and also Natural Resources and Environment Reporter for the Mercury News. Thank you, Paul Rogers. And when we return, we're going to talk national politics. There's lots going on today. A couple of deadlines, president's taxes and also subpoenas. Stay tuned. I'm Michael Krasny.